WLFE TV Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Jack Starr. You're listening to Metal Mayhem ROC with John the Vernomatic Verno.
Are you ready?
Live from the Metal Mayhem Studios in Rochester, New York.
We are gold.
And heard around the world by metalheads just like you. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Heavy metal music.
Your weekly dose of metal music, interviews, album reviews, news, and more.
Want to be part of the show?
Send us a message through our website,
MetalMayhemROC.com.
Or hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Search Metal Mayhem ROC.
It's getting nice and heavy.
And now, welcome tonight's host, John the Vernomatic Verno.
Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday night, and as always, brand new content drops. I invite you to visit the MetalMayhemROC.com website. There you'll have streaming links to Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. All the platforms are there. Tonight's episode, legendary U.S. metal guitarist Jack Starr. From Jack Starr's Burning Star, his first band in the early 80s, Virgin Steel. Well, he just secured a brand new record deal, new studio album, new anthology career-spanning box set coming out. So he's joining myself along with Metal Mayhem ROC correspondent Southern Cal for an interview. Jack's a great guy. Again, 35, 40 years in the metal arena. He has stories that keep going on and on. He's a real cool dude. Quick reminder, I host a radio show of this very show on Metal Devastation Radio on Monday nights, Metal Mayhem ROC Live, 3 hours of metal, playing the best of the old stuff, best of the new stuff. And we also have Mark James, Metal Mark James. He's on our team. He has some weekend shows that you should check out. Metal Mark's Audio Aggression on Saturday nights, and on Fridays, Metal Mark's Vault. Two great outfit shows that he does. The Metal Mayhem show on Mondays kicks ass. So again, just go to our website and all the links, information for everything associated with this show is there. Recent episodes, we had Brand Daler of Mastodon a couple weeks ago, Paul Merkowitz of Cannibal Corpse, and we continued our History of Metal series. Do us a favor, go back, download some of these past shows, rate, review, and subscribe. While you're there, sign up for our email list. It's our way of staying in touch with you on updates on new episodes and whatnot. All right, that's about it. Let's get into it. Jack Starr from Burning Star, Virgin Steel, and many other acts in between. I'm the Vernomatic. This is Metal Mayhem ROC.
Hey! Listen up.
Now get that popcorn ready and grab a seat.
Do it!
As the Vernomatic presents this week's feature interview, exclusively here on Metal Mayhem ROC.
Today's guest, we're talking with Jack Starr, American heavy metal guitarist, 35 years in the hard rock and heavy metal landscape, just secured a new deal with Global Rock Records for one, a new album, and two, a three-disc career-spanning anthology with live tracks and rare stuff and everything in between. Jack, welcome to Metal Mayhem ROC. How are you, buddy?
All right. It's a pleasure to be here and talking to you guys.
I have on the line from Melbourne, Florida, Metal Mayhem ROC correspondent Southern Cal. John, say hello to Jack Starr.
Hey, hello, Jack. Thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Always good to talk to fellow metal brothers.
Jack, are you still in Melbourne right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I live in West Melbourne, to be specific, so all of my fans can track me down and camp out on my front lawn. Yes.
John, where are you in proximity to where Jack is?
I'm over the bridge in Indian Harbor Beach.
Oh, I love Indian Harbor. Your beachside.
Yes, I am.
We'll do a little plug for John's establishment. John, what's the name of it? Frankie's Beachside?
Frankie's Beachside.
Right in Melbourne, Florida. So John, or Jack, stop in for some lunch and a beer down at Frankie's Beachside.
I will. Anytime. You know, now that I know that your metal credentials are in order, I will come down.
You'll see the Metal Mayhem ROC stickers on the door when you come in.
All right.
We're flying the flag.
So talk about flying the flag, exciting things in the Jack Star camp. Like I mentioned in the opening, what's the name is Global Rock Records, new album 2022, new vocalist, career spanning anthology pack. Get us up to speed. What happened over this pandemic? Look like you hit the jackpot. What's going on?
Well, you know, I've actually been pretty busy, you know, without sounding like I'm a cheerleader for the pandemic, but some good did come from it, which is some people got to stay home and focus on whatever it was that they're doing. And in my case, it's music. So I stayed home a lot, and I actually wrote and recorded a solo album that'll also be coming out. And we finished up Souls of the Innocent. We did it in our home studios. It's the bass player lives about 10 minutes from me, Ned Maloney. He lives in Palm Bay, which is right near where we are in Melbourne. So we used a lot of that downtime to be productive.
Beautiful. Well, I don't know where to start. The new album, Souls of the Innocent. You mentioned through show research that you have a new vocalist. Is it the existing band? Give us the backstory on the guys you're playing with.
Okay, well, the band is exactly the same as it was on the last three albums. We did change singers. We had a wonderful singer that sang on the last three albums. His name is Todd Michael Hall. He's now in Riot, the band Riot, and he's also a solo artist. So Todd went off to do his own thing, and we're very supportive of Todd, and we wish him well in everything that he does. He's a killer singer, but our problem was, how do we find another singer that can measure up to Todd? Not an easy chore. Our manager at the time, Bart Gabriel, who's a very well-known metal guy from Europe, he suggested a young guy, 28 years old. And I'm thinking, wow, could he be any good? You know, 28, you know? And I think he's 30 now. He got old. You can't trust him now. Because, you know, remember, you can't trust anyone over 30.
Yeah.
That was a saying from the 60s. Well, anyway, so we checked him out. And the kid's amazing. He's really good. I don't want to say who's better because, you know, when you reach that level of singing, of vocals, there is no better. It becomes a matter of taste. And our singer before that, Mike Torelli, was also a phenomenal singer. And Frank Vestri from Rock the American Way, and Shmulik, who was the singer in a band called Picture. He actually sung with us on one album also. So we've always had really great singers.
Now, the new part of this deal, the anthology, career spanning.
Right.
Why don't we quickly get everyone up to speed on your career? Because the recording career started in the early 80s, Virgin Steel and that. But you know, there's many roads of this Jack Star Boulevard. You know, you did the metal, you did the solo metal, you did the blues. You know, like I said, there's many roads.
I even did a jazz fusion album.
All right. The wine and the cheese tour. Nice. So
yeah.
get some of the younger listeners up to speed on the history of Jack Star.
Well, you know, here's what happened. Basically, in 1981, I started a band called Virgin Steel. It was a music that wasn't really very popular in America. We were doing like kind of like this epic metal music that really has its roots in some of the bands like maybe Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin. I don't know, you know, just that style of music. A band called Budgie that very few people have heard of. So we started this band, and I was trying to find people. You know, I would put ads in the music paper. We want to start a metal band, and we wanted to kind of sound like a British metal band. So that already eliminated 99% of the people that read the ad, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, what's he talking about? Who is Iron Maiden? No one even heard of Iron Maiden in 1980. Well, I mean, if they had, they were living in England, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, to make a long story short, so we started this band Virgin Steel, and we kind of helped define a sound, which, because we were really pioneers of this, I don't know what you want to call it, epic metal or power metal. It was metal, but it also drew on classical influences. There was a lot of particular things that made it that kind of metal, you know, that defined it.
Yeah. Now you mentioned, you know, Budgie, Zeppelin, Purple. Budgie just recently lost Shelly Burke, which.
Yes, that was a loss. Yeah,
it was. And, you know, Budgie, you're right. They go back to, you know, they were tied in with Zeppelin. I think the same producer was going on, and, you know, they're all contemporaries. Right. So.
Absolutely.
So what you're saying is the early Virgin Steel was pulling from those roots. And
yes, but we were pulling from the roots that Budgie was listening to and that Iron Maiden was listening to. So it's kind of erroneous for me to make it seem like we were influenced by Iron Maiden, because truth be told, the only thing that I really knew about Iron Maiden, I think I heard one or two things, was I really thought the name was cool. Iron Maiden, I like the juxtaposition of light and dark, heavy and light, you know, Iron Maiden, you know, Zeppelin, you know. So I was thinking, you know, I want a name like that, like Black Sabbath, you know, that light and evil. And I wrote down a list of about 35 names, and I kind of showed them to a lot of people. You know, I would like kind of corner them and say, hey, what do you think? What name strikes your fancy, you know? And some of the names I came up with were ridiculous, you know? And then, and the weird thing also is some of the names I came up with actually got used by other metal bands in the years to come. So some of them were actually—
Can you share any of those?
Some of them weren't really big, but like I came up with a name, Vendetta. And then there was some band out of Chicago that became— Vendetta. I came up with I don't know, just stupid names, you know.
Yeah.
But
Virgin Steel, it's a killer name. And it generates imagery. Virgin Steel. You gotta listen to, like, if you heard a rock and roll commercial for the tour. Come out and see Virgin Steel.
And then, you know, and it's got a couple of little nuances in the name, like it could be about steel in its purest form, you know, when people are hammering it out, you know. It could also be literally a maiden, a virgin. So hence the connection maybe to Iron Maiden, you know, the virgin, the maiden. Yeah. It could also be stealing the maiden's maidenness.
Okay.
You know, which is what a lot of rock guys have been known, you know, to do, you know. So, I mean, there's like a million ways of looking at it, you know. But so I started this band, and then what happened is it became kind of like a power struggle, even though I started it with me and the singer. And I made the mistake of contacting this manager in Canada who I thought would be great for Virgin Steel. His name was Zoran Busek. Mm-hmm. And he managed the band that had a hit on MTV. They were called Saga. Oh. And the name of the song was On the Loose.
Yeah.
On the Loose. So at the time, you know, I was like really like young and idealistic. And it was like, damn, you know, we're good. He should like us because we're progressive and we're heavy. And we're just as good as Saga. And we're from America. So maybe he'll like us. So I figured, you know, what can I lose? You know, like $3 in postage. So I sent him the our demo. And he got back to me like literally like 4 or 5 days later. And he said, you guys are brilliant. I want to manage you. Little did I know that him managing me would also mean that he would be part of the coup to get rid of Jack Starr in Virgin Steel. And why did he want to get rid of Jack Starr? Well, basically, because I was like the business guy in the band. I was getting the record deals. I was setting up publishing companies and all that. And so I was kind of like, and I was older than the other guys. I'm 10 years older than the guys in Virgin Steel. So it was like, you know, let's get rid of Jack. You know, did it work out for them? No, not really, because they're still in the same place they were at in 1984. We haven't gotten bigger. Virgin Steel, I say we, it's kind of nostalgic that I'm still referring to we.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like 100 years later. But really, they haven't gotten any bigger. You know, it's kind of sad, actually.
Well, it is what it is. So you had that little time in Virgin Steel, and then Burning Star was a solo, or was it a band, Jack Starr's Burning Star?
Actually, it started off being a solo project because, you know, I had some bad feelings after leaving Virgin Steel. I wasn't really ready to start another band. Mm-hmm. I figured, let me see if I can parlay what I accomplished with Virgin Steel, which is getting in all these metal magazines, which is going overseas to play, and just developing this worldwide cult of metalheads. So I said, you know what, let me go check out some labels. So I walked into the office of Passport Records. I knew who they were because they had, they had like Rick Derringer, Leslie West, Wendy O. Williams, yeah. Al Stewart just had a hit, Year of the Cat. They had him. They had, they even had Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones. They had an album called Willie and the Poor Boys.
Okay.
So that appealed to my ego. It's like, fuck, I'm going to be on a label with one of the Rolling Stones. Wait a minute. I like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even care that they were offering like $5,000 less than the other label. It was like, I want to be on that label.
Sure.
So anyway, I signed a record deal with them. And then I used the fact that I was on this prestigious independent label to basically pick, you know, really great musicians like Rhett Forrester from Riot,
right.
Carl Kennedy, like the first drummer of Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow, Gary Driscoll. So mm-hmm. I got all these great people. And I found out something that, you know what? It's really a lot better working with like top-notch musicians.
A quick side note, I spoke with Carl Kennedy on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
We did an interview for the radio show last night, remembering Johnny Zazula, Megaforce.
Yes.
And yes. Carl sends his hello.
Oh, Carl's a great guy.
Great guy.
Please give him my best as well. And, you know, what can you say about a guy like Carl Kennedy? Not only is he like a phenomenal drummer, but he's also a phenomenal producer. Yep. And he's had this incredible impact on heavy metal that most people, except like maybe people on the inside, like you and I and a few others, don't realize that he was there defining and helping Metallica create their sound. He was there for Anthrax.
Anthrax.
He was there for me. He defined, you know, this kind of epic.
Overkill, Alex Perales, that Central Absolutely. New York, you know, all that whole pipeline that made its way up to Rochester. Sure, it's all been discussed in our conversations.
And he was the reason I went to Rochester. You know, I never knew that there was a great studio there called Music America.
Yep.
But it was thanks to, you know, to Carl. And but let's flash forward 100 years later.
Yep.
To 2022.
There you go.
Carl, you know, I've always been in touch with Carl. I've always had a very high regard. And, you know, I found out from Carl or through the grapevine, I don't even remember, that there was a new label that was being formed, a label called Global Rock. And Carl had something to do with it. I think Carl is one of the main people mm-hmm. in this label. And Carl, you know, told me, he said, you know, Jack, if you're interested, I can put in a good word and I can introduce you to the people that, you know, would be the ones that you would need to address. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'm ready for a change. And it was, it's really like the right time, you know?
So it's a real example of, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And
absolutely, you know, it's always been like that, you know.
Now, is Global Rock, is Giles involved with this?
Yes, Giles is involved, and that's somebody else that's phenomenal that Giles and I reconnected, because about, I don't know, like 6 or 7 years ago or 8 years ago, I'm not exactly sure, but Giles had a wonderful band, and he asked me to contribute a guitar solo to it. Mm-hmm. It's called Dragon Lord. Wait, what's it called? No. Dragon. Oh, man. I'm getting old. My memory is going. But anyway, it has Dragon in it. And he asked me to contribute a guitar solo to it. And I said, yeah, because I had no idea who Giles was. You know, I didn't know if he. I did it because I thought the music was really good.
And
I heard what they were doing, and they were from Australia. And I thought, wow, this is really cool. You know, they could be living, you know, right in Melbourne doing the same kind of metal that I'm doing. And it kind of makes you realize the scope of the worldwideness of metal. It's like, we're all like in it together, you know?
Oh, the metal community. It's
yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah, it's
there's a community out there.
It's amazing. The more you spend time in it, and yourself, you know, you've been in this arena for 35 plus years. So,
yeah.
And I hate to keep referring back to that, but I want to emphasize that, you know, you do have a history here, and Jack Starr's place in the history is one, it's important, but it's significant. And that's why it's a celebration here in 2022, how you're able to come out with this new release and, you know, celebrate it. Before I want to send it over to John, he has a lot of questions for you.
Sure.
But the Souls of the Innocent, when is it coming out? Any videos, any of that stuff, or is it?
It's coming out soon. And I'm not being evasive, but I really believe in the next 3 or 4 months. Okay. The album is totally recorded, totally mixed, totally mastered. The art is done. The artwork for the cover is done. It's ready to go. Giles does have a really great plan in place, which is we're going to do some videos. And in fact, we're doing it tomorrow. We have 2 days blocked out in a sound stage, and we're going to be bringing in all the equipment, and we're going to be filming some videos to kind of go with the release of the album. So even though, you know, we've been kind of pestering Giles, oh, come on, let's put this out of it. Giles rightfully has said, let's wait to get these videos out with it.
Yeah.
That said, plus I've also, me and the bass player have also done, I think, about 25 videos where we are talking off the cuff about each song.
Oh, okay.
So there's going to be a lot of video presence for this album.
Great.
Important in the pandemic age.
Oh, yeah. The more content and different content really helps the publicity. Yeah. All right, John, let's go down heavy metal memory lane. What do you got for Jack Starr today?
Well, let me first ask you, Jack, are you doing those? Is that going to be a local shoot for those videos somewhere here in the Melbourne area?
Yes, it is. It's going to be, we're doing it at Res Pro Studios tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And then we're doing it on Thursday. Wait, actually, no, not tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're doing tomorrow, 5 o'clock, and then we're doing Thursday at 5 o'clock. So we'll probably be going from 5 to like 11 o'clock at night. Tomorrow night is setup night. We're going to be setting up all the equipment, the drums and all that. And the videographer is going to get, you know, the camera angles. And then we'll be ready to shoot on Thursday. In fact, you're welcome to come. We can talk about that later. But
that would be awesome.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, let's take a little stroll back down the heavy metal memory lane here. I want to throw a name out at you. Richard Hendry.
Ah, okay. Well, Richard.
80s in the park.
Richard's a great guy, a great supporter of Burning Star and Jack Star. And he's been really responsible for bringing 80s metal to Central Florida. He's been putting on these wonderful 80s in the park metal shows. And I'm impressed with him as a person and as an authority on metal. My God, this guy knows every obscure metal band that ever existed. I mean, he's the only living person that ever mentioned Princess Pang to me. How the hell did he even remember that band? They had like 4 months of fame in New York City, but he remembered them.
Wow. Yeah, he's a local Melbourne guy. He was responsible for putting on the 80s in the park. I believe it started in 2013.
We were at the first one.
Unfortunately, the last year that he did it, they had the hurricane and they had to cancel. And then there was some issues getting some of the bands in. And then they ended up doing it out in Cocoa at one of the hotels out there. So it was a little different. I know he's not doing it anymore, unfortunately. But I spoke to his daughter, Taylor, last night to get some tidbits and things like that. She said the most important thing I thought she said was that you were a good friend of the event. You did event promotions, pre-event promotions, after parties that they would have. She said that you were just great.
She's a sweetheart. We played at the first one, and we played at the second one. The third one, not sure exactly what my role was in it, but the third one, it was mainly autograph signing. And then the fourth one, which was actually held at Melbourne Auditorium, we played there as well. And that was a good
lineup on that show. They had Choir Rye was playing. Lita Ford was there.
Lita Ford. Kix. Remember Kix?
Kix.
Yeah, they were there.
Riot was the closer that night. It was a great event.
And there was another band, too. The band where the guy sings really high and they sound a little bit like Zeppelin. Fly to the Angels.
I don't remember. I could not tell you that one.
What's that band that does Fly to the Angels? I don't know.
Slaughter.
Slaughter.
There we go.
Okay. All right. So yeah, they played there too.
He's always gotten some great talent to come into those events. It's unfortunate that he's not doing them anymore. But I've had the opportunity to meet and speak with Richard, and I just wanted to, you know, you gave us your take on him. It was nice to hear that they really appreciated everything that you did for them with the promoting of the events, the after parties. And all that. Yeah. I know that there was a few bands in there that they probably wouldn't ever deal with again. But you were on the top of the list for sure as far as grade A number one acts for them.
Well, you know what? I can't say enough good things about Richard, and I mean that sincerely. There's not a tremendous amount of money to be made doing this because, first of all, you have to pay. You have to pay a decent salary to all these bands. Then you have to deal with insurance. Yeah. You got to pay for insurance. You've got to deal with security. There's just a tremendous amount of headaches that they have to deal with, and they do it really out of love for 80s metal. So I give you all my kudos
with Richard.
Absolutely.
Good stuff there. You know, a lot to do. We did a little show back. It was like a behind the scenes show of what it actually takes. You know, us as fans, we go to a show, we see 2 hours of an event, but what's going on for the other 22 hours? And we did a little interview with Taylor about all the things that go into putting a show on and, you know, that we don't really think about as fans. We just show up to the show, we have a great time and we go home. You know, there's so much more going on.
It's true. It's 100% true. And I never felt at all that, you know, the festival was badly run or or I just always felt that Richard was really in control, and he had it mapped out and worked out, and it was good. It's always, as a musician and as a band leader, it's very important to walk into those kind of situations. You don't want to be part of a train wreck, or as the British say, a cock-up. You don't want to be part of that.
Yeah, other bands I've talked to about this 80s in the Park event, LA Guns, that they were, everybody always had very nice things to say about Richard. And like you said, he wasn't doing it for the money. He was doing it for the love of the music and the event itself.
Absolutely. And you know what? As a musician, it actually enabled me to see a lot of my contemporaries like LA Guns, who I didn't even realize how great a band they were. I saw them live and like, those guys are good.
I said the same thing. It wasn't a band that I necessarily listened to, but when I saw them live at the last show, the last 80s in the Park that they did, I was kind of blown away, as a matter of fact, by all of the acts that they had that night.
House of Lords.
Kip Winger was in there that night. Lynch Mob was playing that night. Seeing all these bands live, it was great. And it was just amazing. Like I said, bands that I normally probably wouldn't listen to so much, LA Guns being the big one. They kind of blew me away. It's a shame that they're having all the issues they are with the two different bands and then the singer. Yeah. And it just, you know, unfortunate.
Tracy Guns, as a guitar player, you know, I never honestly gave him much thought. And then I saw him live and I'm thinking, you know what? This guy is the real deal. He's got it down. He knows what he's doing. Like if the Rolling Stones needed a guitar player, he could actually walk in and do the job.
Well, Tracy, you know, he was the Guns of Guns N' Roses before they came,
Good point.
Very
good point.
He's got props. Unfortunately, I'm getting some alert from this OBS system. We got about 4 minutes left. And then yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Let me talk fast.
But let's talk about the anthology, Career Spanning. Quickly, let's talk about that. What's included on it? What rare tracks? What live tracks? Never heard tracks?
Well, first of all, you know, I'm really honored that these albums are coming out again. And I have to really give credit to Giles for putting this together. You know, Giles Lavery is not just a great and savvy businessman, but he's also really a supporter of this kind of music. So what I like is the fact that Giles asked me, how would I feel about having these albums come out again? Because some of them have already come out once or twice, but they've never come out properly. Mm-hmm. And now they're coming out with a lot of thought and a lot of attention to detail with new album covers, new mastering, bonus tracks. And that's really coming from Giles, because he's not just a businessman, but he's really a lover of this music.
And a fan. And so when you're a fan and you're the one orchestrating the project, you have the best of both worlds.
And it's going to, and it's going to translate into something that other fans are really going to love and pick up on.
When does this get released?
These have already started to come out on digital. So they're available on all the digital platforms. And then there'll be, I'm sure, physical releases. Mm-hmm. The year 2022 is going to be a really busy year for Burning Star. A lot of physical product, digital product, and actually probably some shows over in Europe as well.
How can people get in touch with you? What's the easiest direct link?
Well, there's about three or four websites on Facebook. One is the official Jack Star's Burning Star. The other one would be simply Jack Star. And also, I have a great assistant who's been helping me with all of this stuff. His name is Phil Simmons.
Okay.
So P-H-I-L, Phil Simmons, S-I-M-O-N-S. And Phil has been creating videos and really doing an incredible job of getting the Burning Star music out there. So also contact Phil Simmons as well.
We'll have all the links in this video, listeners, so you don't have to scramble and try to write this down. We'll have it all out, you know, put up for you.
That'll be great.
Let's see. Got a minute left. John, would you like to say anything, parting shots to Jack?
Well, I just want to thank you for rocking us out for all these years. Let me ask you that they are having your re-releases from your back catalog, like starting from 85's Rock the American Way up to the 2013 Live in Germany. Are those out yet? Have they been re-released or is that still in the process?
Those are actually have been released on in digital format now. Now, I know you're probably old school, so that might not mean as much. But to a lot of our listeners, probably, there's a lot of digital is just taking over. It's crazy. What'd you
I'm
say?
A Spotify guy. I like to go on. I get on Spotify. It's got all everything I need on there. It's a wonderful format.
And we've even got Joe Rogan on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
All right, guys. Yeah. Hate to cut you short, but we're going to get cut off. Jack, I am going to call you offline. If you could just stand by your phone and we'll get some station IDs.
Yes, so, and I want to talk to John as well.
Yep. So again, Jack Starr, the new one on Global Pack Records, compilation, career spanning, and the new release of Souls of the Innocent. Jack, thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Okay.
Thank you, Jack.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Metal for Life. Thanks for listening to Metal Mayhem ROC. Check out our websites at metalmayhemroc.com and metalforever.com for information on upcoming concerts, podcasts, archives, and all sorts of info. Please like, follow, and share with everyone,
even your non-metal friends.
Catch us next time on WLFE DB Radio.